Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is currently accepting comments on a draft environmental impact statement and a habitat conservation plan associated with the incidental take permit applications of 11 Collier County landowners under the Endangered Species Act. And in English now, there is a draft plan to allow more than 40,000 acres of land to be developed in eastern Collier County that would impact endangered species. And the Fish and Wildlife Services is asking for public comment before moving forward. And that comment period lasts through December 3rd. Environmental groups are not happy with this plan, saying that it'll have dire consequences to the natural environment, wildlife, and personal quality of life to nearby residents. And I'm joined now by Amber Crooks. She's an environmental policy manager for the Conservancy of Southwest Florida, specializing in wildlife policy and oil drilling issues. She's here to break this down for us. Amber, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks for having me.
Making it simple for us to all digest.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a lot of words together that I didn't understand entirely. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So there's an application to develop 45,000 acres.
That's right. Even though this is called a habitat conservation plan, which sounds very rosy and positive, it comes along with these incidental take permits, which essentially is the development permits for Endangered Species Act for the 45,000 acres of mining and development in eastern Collier County.
Where is this land exactly?
This would be the land surrounding the town of Immokalee. So right now, if you drive out to Immokalee or the casino out there, you know that's a very agricultural and rural area that we're talking about. And essentially, this 45,000 acres is paving the way for about 300,000 people to that area, essentially doubling Collier County's population. So we're talking about a massive intensification of land use out there through this plan.
So who owns that land?
It's a mixture of private landowners. There also are some of our most significant public lands, like the Big Cypress National Preserve and the Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge are right to the south. Also to the north, you've got OK Slough and Crewe. But in between, we have these lands owned by major landowners, including the 11 that are a part of this application.
So there are 11 landowners, basically. They've come together to put in an application because they want to develop. What do they want to develop it into?
Yeah, it would be 45,000 acres of mines, for example, lime rock or sand mining. Also developments, commercial development, residential development, including the next new town called Rural Lands West. It would be right close to Ave Maria, and it would be about 10,000 new homes in this new town. It's a massive development. It's about 2 miles wide and 6 miles long, so not exactly a compact, walkable development. Mm-hmm. And it's right along the Camp Key Strand, which is one of our most important flowway and wildlife corridors.
So why is it called a habitat conservation plan?
That's just the name that they have in the Endangered Species Act. There are HCPs that are good. It's just all devils in the details. So HCPs, the way that they're put together, the mitigation that's involved, we have seen HCPs in other parts of the country that do benefit the species. But in this case, this one is a bad deal for the Florida panther and the other 18 species that it would cover.
I just find it odd that it can be called that, a habitat conservation plan.
Mm-hmm.
When we're going to put houses and pavement there.
Right. It's devil's in the details. And the other part that comes along with it is that development permit, the incidental take permit.
What's the incidental take permit? What is that?
Mm-hmm. That's basically for harm and impacts to species, even mortality to species that might happen as incidental to the development. So if you're putting in...
Like panthers getting hit by cars?
Yes, exactly. A new home, new subdivision, it's going to displace wildlife. It's going to generate traffic on the roadways. And that's actually a good segue into one of our major... concerns about this is not only the habitat loss and the severing of these wildlife corridors, but also the traffic. They really haven't accounted for all the transportation infrastructure that would be needed for all the traffic that's coming from these developments. About 200 miles of new roads or expanded roads would be needed to facilitate all the traffic coming in and out of these developments.
And State Road 29 would then become a major artery.
That's right. Yeah, that would be, in essence, our new urban boundary in Collier County.
I thought under the Endangered Species Act, it was pretty clearly against the law to take actions that would harm endangered species.
Unless you get these permits. And that's what the subject of this comment period is right now. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is taking comments, whether they should grant these permits or not. And all the comments, this is our last chance to weigh in on this, December 3rd.
But do they take comments seriously? Does that really have that much pull with the fish and wildlife?
Well, that's a great question. I do – sometimes it feels like a David and Goliath situation that we've got here. And that's why it's so important that the citizens speak out and they participate in this. They have not made it easy for the public. They're not even going to be holding a public meeting like they did in 2016 when this essentially kicked off. There was a standing room only of concerned citizens. And this time there will be no public meeting. And in order to comment, you need to go to the docket directly. There's no email address. They've made it very onerous for people to comment. But the Conservancy has made it easy. We have it on our webpage, conservancy.org, an action alert that people can follow the links to be able to make those comments. And back in 2016, there were 2,400 comments that were generated. So the more that we can get people aware of this, and know that this is the future of Collier County being decided right now, because this is a 50-year permit. This is, in essence, deciding the fate of Eastern Collier and of the panther.
So this the process, the landowners started this process back in 2015, sounds like.
Actually, even earlier than that. That was sort of the formal kickoff.
Uh-huh.
But this plan has been in development for about over a decade.
So we're talking a lot about the incidental take permit and how this is going to impact wildlife. And I'm curious how this would have an impact on sheeting and the water displacement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a concern that we have as well. I mean, this is permits under the Endangered Species Act. And so, you know, the panther and other listed species is a big focus of this. But they have also, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, have a NEPA process, environmental impact statement that they're producing. And not a lot of projects get to that point where they're supposed to do this really extensive analysis, looking at everything from socioeconomic impacts, you know, the change of agricultural lands to urbanization, water resources, hurricane evacuation, all the things that come with major developments. And unfortunately, the document they've produced really got a lot of inaccuracies in it, and it doesn't do a very good job of analyzing the impacts from this 45,000 acres of development. I mean, they haven't even considered science-based alternatives that we and other panther experts have provided them.
45,000 acres is kind of an abstraction to a lot of people, but that is about the size of Washington, D.C.,
That's right, in area. Two Miamis in area, and about 21 Pelican Bays if you're from Collier County and get a
21 Pelican Bays.
Yeah. So we're talking about a huge area here.
Are they talking about oil drilling too out there?
Well, that's one of the big problems with the preserve area. You know, one of the things that we often hear from the landowners and others is allow the 45,000 acres and we'll give you 107,000 acres of preserve. But it's actually misleading.
Yeah, because it says under the plan the landowners are going to set aside about 100,000 acres that won't be developed.
They're saying that those lands are vulnerable to development, and they actually aren't. The Collier County Comprehensive Plan provides a level of protection for many of those lands. In addition, there's this...
So it's like they're saying, I won't do anything on this 100,000 acres. It's like, well, you weren't going to anyway.
Exactly. And plus, we know from their plans that there's an interest in continuing to do agriculture, perhaps intensified agriculture, which will have an impact on species, and also oil exploration and drilling. So are these lands truly as preserved as they're writing up in their plan? Additionally, that part of the county was never intended to have this amount of development. I mean, 45,000 acres is huge. Back when the Collier County program was put, it's called the Rural Land Stewardship Program, they were only anticipating about 16,800 acres. So you can see how things have ballooned to now we're looking at least 45,000 acres. And then probably more once this plan's in place. We think with all the infrastructure and amenities in place of these new towns, it will generate even more development.
This is a tough one, though, because there's a need for places for people to live. That there's a desperate need for affordable housing. So I'm wondering, I mean, where do we put these people?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Conservancy over the years has provided some reasonable alternatives to this plan. Of course, our focus is on protecting our natural resources, notably the listed species like the Florida panther. And so we've used the best available science to come up with an alternative footprint that would allow almost as much development as they're seeking here, just in a better configuration that's better for our wildlife.
So there's a way to do it.
That's right.
That wouldn't have as much of an impact.
Right. With the plan as proposed by these landowners, we're looking at about 20,000, so about half of what they're asking is considered by scientists as essential habitat for the survival of the Florida panther. And so we've reconfigured that to avoid those areas. And our recommendation is backed up by other who've like the Panther Review Team, which is a set of a blue ribbon panel of six panther biologists who, independent to the Conservancy's recommendation, also looked at that land and made a similar recommendation to reconfigure and move the development out of those most important areas.
So the Conservancy is trying to get people to know that there's this December 3rd deadline.
That's right. It's a 50-year plan. Once if it does get approved, it's going to be locked in. It's very difficult to change HCPs. Yeah, there's a clause under the Endangered Species Act called no surprises. And so that sort of provides assurances to these landowners that if this is approved, that locks in what their mitigation responsibilities are. So if the plan doesn't work, if these species are becoming more imperiled, it's nearly impossible to turn back the clock on that. And it's a 50-year plan, so we're projecting out, you know, decades here of what these species might need over time. So
do you feel like if this does pass and they do develop all these acres that we may be looking at the end of Florida panthers?
And that is a concern for the Conservancy. We think that this plan would jeopardize the Florida panther, because these lands are so important to the panther based on best available science. And also we know through some modeling we've had done by one of the premier panther biologists, Dr. Robert Frakes, he has modeled what these developments would do to the two north and south wildlife corridors that are existing out there. So these
corridor, like this is like the panther highways.
Yeah,
this would block them off.
Yes, exactly. The way that the developments are placed, it's going to sever and fragment these corridors. So these panthers are going to have a more difficult time moving across the landscape and moving northward, like the recovery plan projects that they need to in order to achieve full recovery.
So if people want to make their voices heard, they need to go to the Conservancy's website?
That's right. We made it easy to find that place on the docket for you to register your comments. If you go to conservancy.org/HCP, you can find out more details about it, why we have concerns, and some talking points for writing your letter.
And then a link to get to the point, place where you have to put your letter,
because
you said it's kind of hard to get to.
Yes.
All right.
We're trying to make it as easy as possible. Surely the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service hasn't.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we've got for this part of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Amber Crooks. She's the Environmental Policy Manager for the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Amber, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And when we return, sea turtle nesting season just ended. We're joined by a woman who spends a lot of time combing the beaches for sea turtle nests as part of the monitoring efforts by the nonprofit Turtle Time. We're going to find out how the season turned out, as this part of the state also suffered through two separate harmful algal blooms. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.